Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, girls and boys, whatever you identify as, this is Larry Charles, one half of the Game Dev Unchained podcast team, number one podcast for video game development and the lifestyle of game developers. And it's a team of three this week because it's a special episode. Obviously, you know, it's about that time for the round table. And the person who is responsible for making sure that the table was round in the first place, Mr. Brandon Pham.
Yes, coming back with the round table that looks like a triangle this week. Brandon Pham welcoming our third unofficial podcaster, Ray Graham.
What's up, bro? What's going on? What's going on?
A lot of things have been going on, Ray, so we'll just jump right into it. So Epic Games Store just announced their store, pretty much the front door of Fortnite. They're taking advantage of what's going on. We're talking about over 100 million accounts and counting that are seeing this every day, every minute of the day. How do you guys feel about this?
Ray, you want to jump in first, or you want me to
kick man, I have opinions. I guess okay. I have opinions.
Well, before your opinions, let's lay down the facts, right? People who don't know, it's 88-12 percentage cut, which means you take 88%, Epic only takes 12.
Which is unheard of so far.
Steam pioneered the 70-30, which is 70% used, 30% to Steam. And not to kind of outshine what Valve has announced a couple weeks ago, right? People were like, out of the blue, why are you saying this? They were announcing a lifetime gross change in terms of percentage to help everybody. Yeah. It broke down to if you were making $1 million or more, you get 20%. If you made between 250 to nine, well, to a million, basically, you get 18%. And then, wait, is this correct? Am I naming the correct one? It doesn't sound correct.
That definitely does not sound correct to you.
All right, let me check the facts real quick. Larry, sure. While you fill in.
Sure, I'll do it. So out of the blue, before we hear about the Epic Game Store news, we saw the Steam like finally had changed their pricing structure, which they were the giant. They were the top dog. They never had a reason to ever need to change the 70-30. And then all of a sudden they did, you know, unwarranted, without any sort of public knowledge of why.
Did they have no reason, really?
Well, then a couple of days later, to the public, right? This is to the public, to the people who don't know, who aren't Ray Graham, right? a couple of days later, boom, Epic makes the shot that gets heard around the world again, which is, oh, we've got our own game store. We're going to give you a very favorable 88% of royalties and revenues, and we will keep the remaining 12. So as soon as I read that, I was like, okay, I see. And also big up to Epic, because I think that's awesome.
Yeah. But I think like the Steam change, I don't know if it really was, oh, we know Epic's about to do something, because the change really only was only favorable towards the high-end games. The top end, the games that are making a ton of money, right? Yeah. Which the guys that have been making a ton of money for a while now have been pulling out, right? Like, yeah. I mean, one of the only AAA, like at least the ones that we usually talk about that is still available on Steam is like Ubisoft games, right? Mm-hmm. And even then, Ubisoft does sell their games through the Uplay store, right, as well. So, like the Steam change seems like it was something else that they're trying to do with that. Try to lure back some AAA guys. Like, okay, fine, you make a lot of money, you get to keep more of it, which kind of left the indies kind of with a bad taste in their mouths. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then here comes Epic, like, oh, okay, guys, we're being all nice and altruistic here. Have 88% of the cut. I think the one thing that people are not talking about enough, though, is like I'm hearing a lot of like there's a lot of games that are now exclusively on the Epic Store or timed exclusive on the Epic Store. And I don't know if that is very open. As we should say, are really pro consumer, giving them a choice of who to support, right? I think, like, yeah, I want to support devs getting a bigger cut, right? But then I also want users to be able to choose where they buy their stuff from, right? Okay. But I also understand, like, the whole exclusive stuff is just to help grow the user base.
Yeah.
But the games that are available, the games that are going to be available, the games that I've seen it now so far. Mm. Like, I don't know if that's making me run over to the Epic Store to buy anything on there, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think I will say I agree with the idea of, like, hey, Epic is just getting this store started, so they're going to need to bring at least some sort of uniqueness, right, to draw appeal, to get people spending on their platform and used to that. So I understand the move of going with the exclusives. I will say this, like, I saw Hades and it looks cool, like, especially coming from the company that gave us, you know, Bastion and Transistor.
Supergiant's dope.
Yeah, it's right. It's, if you like those games, like, you're going to get another one of those games, so to speak, with slightly different paint job. And this is from someone who hasn't played it yet, so don't take this as disrespect to anyone who has worked on those titles.
Oh, no, Supergiant's dope. Like, it's like, there's no denying that.
Yeah. So for me, it's like, I get it, right? You're going to need to bring out some big guns to kind of get things going. So who knows how long the exclusivity deals will be a practice for Epic, especially since it kind of seems like doing something where we're forcing you to do something or to go with a model that we're setting in place is kind of counter to what they're saying they're doing in the first place, which is, we want to make games more accessible. We want to make the store more friendly. You know what I mean? Like, all the reasons why they're doing this kind of goes against the idea of creating a platform of exclusivity. But I will give them this credit. I was very happy to see the subtext that was like, if your game was made in Unreal, you know, 88%. If your game was made in Unity, 88%. I was like, look at that. Look at that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, supporting all engines and, like, in-house, Unity, Unreal, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah, that's all nice. That's all nice, and it's definitely a good thing. But I think, like, the number one thing that developers, like, okay, maybe one of the top three things that developers want, right, is, they want a more favorable cut. This puts more pressure on Steam to probably, like, maybe they should reduce their cut. Maybe depends on how many developers, like, pull out of Steam and go exclusive on Epic Store, which right now there's not enough, I don't think, to make a dent in anything Valve's doing. But then the other thing is, developers want also better discoverability tools and all that, right? And so the Epic Store being a curated thing, I don't think that really helps with discoverability, right? And also, of course, right now it helps with discoverability because there's like 10 games on there, right? Mm-hmm. But like, when, if they open the floodgates or whatever, or if they open the floodgates, they're gonna have a discoverability problem. If they keep it like lean and mean and a curated experience, then it's gonna be really like a walled garden where only the best games are shown on this store, and that leaves out a lot of developers that are trying to. You know, now you have to like fight to get Epic's attention to get on the store. Mm-hmm. So those two things is kind of like, it's not really solving that problem for developers. Yeah. Right. And so it's like kind of like a lot of people are not talking about these things enough. Everybody's just hyped about the 88%. But we're not talking about, okay, well, how are people going to find your game in the first place? Mm-hmm.
Right? They're not. So these are the numbers. These are the numbers for the Steam, right? So if your game makes over $10 million on Steam, it'll be going to 75 to 25%, right? So anything under that is the old model, which is 70-30. If it makes over $50 million, it'll cut to 80-20, right? Yeah. Okay. So obviously they're geared towards the big guys to keep them in their Steam ecosystem because they know no matter how many indie games make millions of dollars, it just takes one Assassin's Creed to like make up the rest of the dough for the year, right? So they know they have to keep the big guys in their Steam store to make it interesting.
But what's crazy is most of the big guys are already gone.
Exactly. So it's weird. It's a really weird move because Steam used to be a champion for the little guys, right? They started the whole mod community. They still profit from them. I mean, they're known for buying small teams and making Portal, making Counter-Strike, Team Fortress. All these are from small developers, right? So they've always been viewed as a nice company that thinks about gamers.
Shout out to Valley of the Gods. Shout out Campo Santo.
Yeah, they'll be gone next. So
it's terrible.
I'm just saying, man, these guys, they make one game. Portal's like the only one that did
terrible. Anyway, go on.
And that's only because Gabe really likes Portal. So anyways, like I understand the gold rush over at Epic Games Store, the 88-20%, right? Everybody wants to be in that front gate of before you play Fortnite, check out my game. So it's really great for that. But like you guys mentioned, it will become a problem. Like any other store that gets popular, it's going to be flooded with indie games and curated content is going to get out of hand. And Epic is a really small company for what they do. Yeah. Are they going to have enough manpower behind it to kind of take care of that? It's going to, you know, I think Steam is smart enough and not reacting impulsively, because they know eventually, even if they do get big and become a threat, they're going to face the same problem that they're facing now. It's like, how do we take care of all these games that just pop up? And what's funny is like Steam Greenlight was a great idea until it was bad, and then everybody was like, can you just open it up to everybody? And when they did, it's like, hey, can you close it up a bit more, because all these shitty games are flooding in. So it's no winning in that opinion. I would say the only place that have been here, a front store that has been successful but is able to kind of circumvent and fix it, has been the Apple Store, right? The App Store has been, I would say the reboot has been pretty successful. What are your opinions, ex-Apple guy?
No, Ray. Pretty successful for who?
Yeah.
I would say it's easier for me. I'm not intimidated to go in there and look at what's up, right? Like before I was like, forget it. Like if I haven't even heard it on my own, I'm not going to go to an App Store to browse. There's no way. But right now I'm like it's more inviting for me. Like, all right, so what's recommended there is something really good. So it's not intimidating.
But still, like what they recommend, it's a severe walled garden, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like to get recommended on the Apple Store is like you got to know some people and you got to have some connections and you got to have a really, 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 really nice looking game, right?
I wish it wasn't that way. Like I wish it didn't take knowing some people, you know what I mean? I wish it was at least fair.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's 100% curated, right? Yeah, like there's no way for like if you're just like, hey, I'm making some app, and I want to get it recognized in the App Store. Like just no way. Good luck, right? So I don't know. Like maybe you're gonna find some editor choice stuff that they recommend, like that gets featured on the page, but you're not gonna find Joe Blow's game number one on there. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I guess what's interesting to me is as the developer and also the consumer, right? Like I think about it in two ways. As the consumer, of course, I want like a nice curated experience. I want to, like someone has already spent the time knowing that this is fun. You might like this because of choices you've made in the past, like things like that. This is also tried and true. It's got a 9.8 rating. It's bug free. You know, it's 99 cents. It hits all your sweet spots, Larry. Like I love that. But as a developer at the same time, I'm also like, hey, I want to take advantage of, you know, 1.2 billion customers out there, you know, with my app. I want to make my thing and I want to get it seen.
Yeah.
But I have to respect the fact that like I'm a nobody who has done nothing. It's my first app. Why am I owed like front page space just because I made a thing? Like 10,000 other people today made a thing that I'm competing with. You know what I mean?
Just do what all the other people do and call your game Castle Knight.
Castle Knight. Put
the proper tags on it, and then it'll show up first before Fortnite when people search for Fortnite. It's true. Like this is exactly what happens, right? Like it's like the tagging and like how to show up before the actual thing that people are searching for, and like how to push your results to the top. Like it's a big ass game, right? And it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's crazy. So all these stories, man, they gotta figure out how to do curation, right?
Well, Steam tried to do like a thing where you follow your favorite curator and that would help kind of curate some content, but that kind of fell on the wayside. I don't hear as much. It's hard to make do social networking curator. Yeah it's just not, they're missing the Facebook factor of curation. It's like it's not something you go to Steam to follow other people who play games anymore, right? They need to fix that problem. Like any website that you would visit, is it fun to go on Steam to follow someone's recommendations? Right. Or
well, my information flow is really what does it for me. For example, when I go to Steam, it's usually because I know for a fact that there's something I want to purchase.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, it's Saturday. I've got today and tomorrow and $10. Let me just see real quick what I can, you know what I mean? Like, I rarely go to Steam to like do real research and browse. And like, I already have gone to YouTube. I've already gone to Kotaku. I've already gone to all these other channels of information where I'm learning about games I may potentially want to buy. Usually when I'm on Steam, it's because I'm either going to play a game or I'm committed to a purchase, or I'm throwing away like a small insignificant amount of money on just a crapshoot. Those are really like the three things that bring me to Steam. But yeah, none of that is, I just want to go to Steam just to browse around and see what's what. Yes. And to learn or to follow
that issue. Yeah.
Although like Steam's the discovery queue, at least for me, it seems pretty, there's usually a game in there that I would like to play, or at least I would add to my wish list or whatever. It's pretty good at picking some games for me to see in that thing. At least it has been. But yeah, like, and also there's features that Steam has that the Epic Store doesn't. So all these developers are like, okay, my game's only gonna be in the Epic Store, right? You know, there's all the, like, for better or for worse, there's no stream trading cards and like, yeah. And no.
Hey Ray, thanks for that companion cube card that you traded me last week. I really.
No achievements.
That chunk of cash from Epic better be nice for them to go exclusive over there, right? Like
no mods. Oh yeah, of course it is, right? Of course it is. Has to be.
I would say if I was, making Hades, like, yeah, I would probably look for like some pay into going exclusive, because, you know, you have a track record, you've got proven sales and metric data that you can say like, hey, you know, going exclusive may hurt us unless.
Yeah.
Now, if I was us three making a game and Epic was like, hey, do you want to be exclusive on our store? I'd be like, hell yes. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't even have to pay me, just because I already know that like there's only 19 games that I'm competing with versus. Damn.
Yeah,
I pulled that number out of my butt, obviously, but you get what I'm saying.
But it's going to be a low number.
Yeah, exactly.
Thousands
exactly.
That are on Steam. But exactly. I still, for me personally, I like, if I'm making something, I want the maximum reach. Yeah. And yeah, like if I want people to support me on the place where I make the most dough, I'd be like, hey, hit up my storefront where like I get all the dough. Right. And if you want to support Epic, go ahead, support Epic. Yeah. But if you want to do it on Steam because all your libraries on Steam, go ahead, get it on Steam. Right. I'm cool with that. Yeah, I lose some money and it's hard to survive out here as an indie, but like I understand that I want to reach the people where they're at.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Definitely you want to funnel them to your website first.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I'm not like a huge, like I'm not a huge supporter of like, I'm only exclusively available here, right? Like it's not something that I want to support, right?
Yeah.
When you said you want to be on the platform with maximum reach, you're essentially Steam because it has the most users active, but what about your conversion of out of the, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of people who have Steam accounts, your game was seen by 11 people, right?
Yeah. That's still, discoverability is a problem on all these stores, right? But yeah, if you end up on the Epic Store and there's only 20 other games on there, of course, your chances of being seen is higher.
Yeah.
And then you probably will just sell more on that store anyway because the chances of you being seen is higher, right? You know what I mean? Like, so you naturally will get a bigger cut already anyway. But the whole exclusivity part is really just for Epic. It's really for Epic to grow their store, to grow the user base. And then also the other part of it that's kind of people, it also lets Epic show you Fortnite ads to make sure that you download Fortnite. And you
that's really what Fortnite, it is. Yeah.
And you spend money in Fortnite.
I'm going to go to the store right now.
There's no lock for them at all. Right? They're just inviting more people into Fortnite. Steam to me has a big UI problem. Right? I go on there and it's just a clutter mess. Like they need to update the fun usability of that for me to reinvest into browsing and looking for games. I go in there and I'm just like bombarded with shit. I don't, you know, and it's not a good feeling. It's not a good experience. And like Larry said, unless I'm going in there specifically for a game that I already know I want, I don't go in there looking for other games unless there's a sale. So they need to fix that issue if they care. Secondly, Yeah, I think Epic is, I think a lot of, for gamers in general, I think this is horrible. I feel like every company has their own store now. And it's like, yeah. What, I got to download Netflix, Hulu, Disney, yeah. To play a certain game? Do I want like six applications running?
Well,
everybody just wants their dough, right? Everybody wants.
Yeah. I think it's bigger. Terrible. Everyone's segregated now.
Yeah.
So, but there is a benefit to that, though, right? Like, mm-hmm. There's a reason why, you know, Cokes and Pepsi's relatively both cost about $1.99 versus if Pepsi didn't exist, Coke would be $3.99. Right, you know sure. What I mean? Yeah. Like, there is some like benefit to the competition, which is in the fair market because they're competing. They are trying to do things that are good for the customer. Like, for example, I just found out that I can get Super Meat Boy for free in a couple of days on the Epic Games Store. And that's not a plug. I literally just loaded up the site just to see yeah. What's what.
They're offering free games.
Subnautica is going to be free on the 14th. You know what I mean? So like, yeah. Cool. If I went to Steam right now, I bet you I'd have to buy both of those games.
Yeah,
sure, of course.
Yeah. So there's some benefit in, even though it's right.
I was okay with
it's Steam a benefit
and then Origin, but now it's like Steam, Origin, Epic Games Store. Ubisoft has their own thing right now, right? Or about to.
Yeah, don't forget,
good old games.
Don't forget Battle.net,
Battle.net. It's getting ridiculous, dude. It's getting too ridiculous. It's too much.
You're right. There are a lot of places where I can buy games, but luckily, to exactly what Ray was saying about the exclusivity, is there's a lot of, like, I bet you I could go to all those platforms and find the game that I was like, well, maybe not all, but you know what I mean. Like, I could buy Meat Boy probably on all those platforms. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think the individual company platforms are only really, like, living, like, Origin's garbage. Like, let's just be real. Origin's not great, right? But the only reason why Origin's living is because that's where you can get Battlefield, and a lot of people are going to buy Battlefield, and that's why that store is alive. Activision, like Battle.net. You know, Activision put themselves on Battle.net because they're like, yeah, a lot of people playing Hearthstone, a lot of people playing Overwatch. Our games are big. Our games are popular.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We know that you're going to go and download that. Mm-hmm. Right. But I think, like, and I think Epic is finally a company that has a lot of money that's trying to say that they're a little bit more open. Mm-hmm. The one thing that we haven't talked about too is the, if you use Epic's engine, they basically
wave off the 5%.
They wave off the 5% royalty, which is
that's big. That's a huge one.
Which is like, that could be a big deal for a lot of developers.
That want to use
for, I don't know why they would want to do this, but they use the Unreal Engine
because they figure they'll sell.
That was a sneaky little guess right there.
Why would you?
No, but I think that was a huge, that, like, I think that's a, that's bigger, a
huge plus right there.
That, that's a bigger news right there. That's a bigger plus than almost anything else. Yeah. I think.
Yeah. Kudos for that, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think only time is going to be able to tell. It's very new right now. We haven't seen any, you know, metrics. There's no Steam Spy for the Epic Games Store yet, so you know we're kind of in the dark right now. And is it a gold rush or is it a bust? So, but I'm excited personally.
Yeah. I think it just falls back to developers being their own PR, man. I mean, that's just what really is. You just got to go in there with your audience, tell them where to buy it. You can't rely on these stores to bring new eyes to it anymore, unless it's like a big Steam sales. But yeah, that seems like there's no stopping. I mean, that's the future. Even Valve is kind of sitting back and letting this all happen, right? They're not like sweating.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't, like, literally there's like, what, there's 10 games on here? Like Valve shouldn't be sweating right now, but they but they definitely should be thinking about,
yeah, like 5-10 years from now,
kind of, like, yeah, like what's the next thing for them? How do they fix discoverability? Mm-hmm. Is the 30%, and like, and they recently defended the 30% too, like very recently. They're like, look, you know, the 30% is because we have a big ass network, and it's to your advantage to be here, right? That's why we take a lot of money. Now, you know,
okay,
they can still say that to Epic, right? They're like, yeah, there's only 10 games on there. Good luck, guys. Right. So, time will tell. Yes. Yeah. And I think, but I do think Valve does need to do something. Right.
The way that I look at it though, is like, as the developer putting my game out there, to be honest, I care, but I don't care, because depending on how I'm doing financially, if Epic is like, yo, you can have all your sales except for 12%, and you're doing pretty much all your own marketing and publicity anyway, I'm taking that 88, man.
Yeah. The thing is, like, are you going to get all your sales? And right now Epic is getting those deals by saying, here, have a chunk of cash that will make up for the lost sales.
Guaranteed money all at once sounds great as well as, yeah, you know, versus like 3 months to equal that amount. I can get it all in one check. Right. Depending on, you know, that's also pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, if you guys are into conspiracies, this ain't
tap the nose.
Yeah. Well, the creator of Steam Spy, you guys heard of this, right? So, mm-hmm. Sergey Galayonkin. Mm-hmm. So he works for Epic. He's the mastermind behind Epic Game Store. So this guy's been studying Steam Spy just as a hobby, not for Epic, but now he's using all that knowledge and everything to kind of push forward Epic Game Store, which is in pretty good hands if he's the man behind everything. Just a little tidbit.
Yep.
We've got to have him on sometime. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much Steam. I would say I would wish that Valve kind of come out of hiding, because since they're not making games anymore, that they should, I don't know. I think this is the best time for them to kind of come out and say, hey, we're champions of the indie developers, right? This is a group that we pioneered and widely support, and we want to be the place for you guys. Because the big guys are leaving. I mean, you're not stopping them, but at least with the little guys, you can, you know, be first choice again. I still think there's a lot of value in that. There's a lot of people, man.
Well, they're going to be forced to do that if you really think about it. If it's true, all the big guys are leaving, then inevitably, you know, hey guys.
Well, Take-Two's never going to make their own store. It's so crazy over there. The GTA, Red Dead isn't on PC yet, right? It's like a year later.
Not yet.
Not even close.
Yeah, when Red Dead's out on PC, it'll save Steam.
Can't wait for the cowboy mods.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised though, if 2K or what's the company called that makes Rockstar. Yeah, if Rockstar was like, nah, here's the Rockstar launcher, like on PC. I wouldn't be surprised though. I would not.
Oh, what, one game every 5 years? Who's gonna stick around for
that? I mean, I would not be surprised, quite frankly.
One game every 5 years. Yeah, stay around.
I would, like, if you're like,
hey, it'll be the cleanest UI ever.
Like, keep the 30%. Like, keep the 30% of the $60 that we sell our gajillion copies of the game. You know, like, that's a lot of money, man. So
it is a lot of money. Anyways, let's move on to another topic. Let's tell from one disaster next. This is Fallout 76. I've never been a Fallout fan.
Way to lead in.
I'm not even a Bethesda fan. All right. I just get scared away from the graphics. All right. So I've never felt like their games look good. I know they play well. I know a lot of designers and programmers love them. But when I saw Fallout 76, it made me go into hiding, dude. So when it came out, it confirmed my suspicion. Right. There was a lot of complaints. What have you guys heard?
One, I heard that it just was
terrible,
not fun. It was kind of buggy, and no disrespect obviously to any developers that are working on it, it's, you know, it just had a bad launch, I guess, in my opinion. I don't actually own it or have played it myself, so take what I'm saying currently right now as hearsay through what I've been able to gather. Ray, have you actually had a chance to play 76?
All right. So I have not bought it or played it, and the reason why is when they announced it and they said what it was going to be, I was like,
you already knew that was a troubling mixture.
I was like, that's not a Fallout game. right? Or that's not a Fallout game that I would want to play. Gotcha. And so I just kind of like totally tuned it out and ignored it all, right? And then, yeah, I launched and everything was moaning and groaning and like griefers and nukes and PvP and like it's just, you know, like
sounds like a disaster.
Bugs and stuff is basically just straight up par for the course for any Bethesda game.
Yeah.
Like bugs are always in their games, like from day one, right? But like it just seemed like the loyal Fallout following, like this game was just trying to be something else, right? And not really a Fallout game. And it was, you know, it's trying to. It looks like they took a risk and they're like, hey, we want to be, you know, games as a service, always online, and try to somehow fit that into the Fallout universe, right? And that's like, and I understand why everybody wants to do this, because of course this is how you live and eat, but like it just didn't, it seems like the implementation just didn't come across well. That's what it seems like. I haven't played it, like, and I have no interest to play it, right? Like literally zero interest, like, which is, for me, I've played all the Fallout games. I'm actually not a fan of them, even though I've played all of them. Because I'm kind of a fan of like that type of, like, you know, turn-based stuff and style and picking up stuff and loadouts and leveling up. Like, I'm a fan of that stuff. But it's always like the Bethesda stuff always kind of, like Brandon said about the graphics and stuff, has always kind of let me down.
Well, because they want to give the modders like some room to grow. You know what I mean? Like, don't they always have the like,
hey guys, make a game for us.
Download my high quality visuals pack.
I just think their art direction is not my favorite, right? Okay.
I like the fall with the Pip-Boy. I like all that. I mean, yeah. Worked on BioShock. It borrowed a lot of those elements, so I love that style. I just feel like the execution is always fugly. It's just so bad, and all maybe because the game is so big, or they didn't have enough time to polish things. But
well, I think that's the common thread. Is like what they do well, they focus on that.
Yeah,
and they focus on it down to, oh, I could take a cup off a table and another room and put it to another table, and it remembers where it is and all that kind of stuff. Like there's a lot of like cool stuff that they do on the game design.
Yeah, design is tight. Yeah.
Point of view. But artistic stuff, I've never been a fan.
You just gotta go stylize. If you're gonna attempt realism, you can't make it look like an attempt. You know what I mean? You gotta at least, because it's just glaringly awful.
No, I do think
if you just games, make it style. You know?
I do think their games are stylized.
Is it
to a point? Yeah, I do. I do think they
it look. They, it looks like them trying to me. But not to hate.
Yeah, like I said, you definitely hate. You definitely hate.
I definitely hate. But like maybe it's the art direction. I don't think the artists are bad. It's just maybe the art direction is just like, no, make it.
Yeah, I think the general direction that they choose for a lot of their games, like Skyrim and a bunch of their games, I'm just not a fan of, like, at all.
Well, I've seen, like, I'm not even bad with the art direction. Like, I look at Monster Hunter, the last one that just came out. I love that. It looks great. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
To me, that's what the Bethesda game is. It's in the Middle Ages and stuff like that, right? Especially Skyrim. They can't achieve that for whatever reason. So.
And I think Monster Hunter has a lot of technical issues as well, like a lot. Yeah. But just the overall character design and art design really comes through regardless.
Yeah. They use their own engine, right? There's the Skyrim and Fallout. That's not the same engine, is it?
I don't know.
Is this from the same studio?
No, yeah. I think it's actually... I don't know if they have two separate engines or if it's the same, like, but it's an internal engine that they've been using for the last like 100 years, right? Like, it's, and they've been working on it and improving over time. They said for Fallout 76 is a whole new brand new renderer.
Yeah.
Right. So
unwanted stepchild.
Yeah. but I think a lot of my issues with it is just, yeah, it's just the, I'm not a fan of the art style. And I'm not really a fan of like really buggy games either, which is kind of like that. But that's part for course. But there's the games that people love them, right? But this one seems to have gotten a really bad like reception. Like,
yeah, because it's multiplayer heavy. They haven't really done it, and
yeah,
it's asking for.
And it's also it's just not Fallout, right? It's just not the Fallout game that people want. Like, you don't want to run around dropping nukes on people. Like, why?
Yeah, wasn't there like an issue where someone had figured out the new codes? Like,
on YouTube, it's a glitch,
and they were
a glitch. Yeah, and people exploited that glitch.
Of course,
it was probably the developers like trying to retreat, just to blame it on players. Just shut off this game, please. I'm sorry, Bethesda, but you know what it is. Come on.
I think it's really unfortunate. Like, Fallout 4 did really well. It sold many copies. People loved it. You know, yeah. Fallout New Vegas, Obsidian worked on that. That game did really well, sold a shit ton of copies. I know that the community was like clamoring for like another Fallout, like a real updated new Fallout game. And to have 76 be what takes its place, it feels all like the Diablo iPhone game all over again.
Well, coincidentally or smartly marketed, let's talk about Obsidian, right? So fresh off the terribleness of Fallout 76.
From the creators of the original Fallout.
From the original of the original. They came out with their new game, Outer Worlds.
Yeah.
They just recently got bought by Microsoft. Ka-ching. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like those news. I like the little guys winning because, you know, they've had their share of trouble in the past. And is, of course, everyone celebrating when Microsoft buys your studio. Mm-hmm. But they also revealed the Outer Worlds. So Outer Worlds is actually an old deal with 2K, right? They had like a publishing, like an indie publishing arm at 2K. I forgot what it's called. But this deal is with them, not with Microsoft. So they're just finishing this game and maybe the game afterwards.
It'll be the first Microsoft.
It will be one. But this is a Fallout-ish looking type of game, and it looks great. I mean, it doesn't look great. It looks good. Like, yep. I am curious about this instead I'm of like spitting at my screen when I see it.
Have we actually talked about the Microsoft buying?
No. We talked about a bit. They're on a spending spree right now.
Yeah. I knew that they were going to buy Obsidian. I actually didn't know that they were going to buy In Exile. And I'm happy to hear that they bought In Exile. So everyone at In Exile, I hope you guys get a new building.
Can I take like a different angle on this?
Go for it.
It was funny, right? Like for like us and like game developers and nerds and people that play turn-based games and have played In Exile games like Wasteland and played the games from Obsidian, like Path of the Pillars of Eternity, right? There's this, like, we were like, oh, that's interesting that Microsoft bought those guys. Mm-hmm. Microsoft is broadening their portfolio to include, you know, AA studios. These studios probably were not going to survive without Microsoft, right? Buying them, right? They're probably going to close relatively soon, right? But then I saw like another aspect, like a lot of gamers in quotes, a lot of gamers out there were just like, who? In Exile, who? And Obsidian, who? Like literally asking, like had no idea.
Let me ask
what games that these studios made or who these studios were, right?
You saw those comments on YouTube, right?
And then, no, not on YouTube. Oh, no. On the next best place, Twitter, right? Right? It's like Microsoft wants to get more game studios to build quality content for their platforms going forward, right? And streaming at Game Pass, and like they just want more content that they own, that they can make more games, right? Because everybody's like, oh, Xbox still got no games, right? When people say Xbox still got no games, they don't mean, oh, I want another Wasteland or another game of that caliber. Right? So like it just looks like it's
a misstep.
It's horrible for me to say, but it sounds like straight up it's clearance shopping, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, seriously, right? Yeah. They're like, oh, what can we get that's of some quality for like a real cheap price kind of thing, right?
Right.
Hey, but you know what? They're not in first place. So I don't feel bad that they had to do that.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Do you feel like the talent that they're buying isn't good enough for new IPs? You know what I mean?
Fired.
Shots.
I have no idea.
It out there.
Yeah, I have no idea. No, I have no idea. Like, I think
because I see what you're saying. Like,
I think part of Yeah, I think part of people's ambition is also driven by how much money you have to spend.
Yeah.
Right. And so now, yeah, if Microsoft's like, hey, we're backing you.
Is there some resources that you need?
Yeah. Grow your studio. Let's swing for the fences. Yeah, I'm all for that. Right. But then I think getting there is going to be like, I don't think you just add money and then, oh, okay, now we're making Call of Duties out here. Like, yeah. I don't think that's how it works. Right. Actually, sorry. I know for a fact that's not how it is. Right. But so it's good that they have money and that they're going to be stable. Right. But like, what are they going to produce now is I'm really interested to see. Cause I like the games that NXIVE makes. I like the games that Obsidian makes. Right. But like I said, there are a sizable group of people that were literally like Jaimon Hunsu from what that movie, like posting that meme. The diamond. Who? Yeah, like who? Who are you? Right.
Well, I will say this, right? Yeah. Fallout is a huge game. They just came out.
Yeah.
Outer Worlds looks way better. I will say that. Right.
Outer Worlds looks good.
It looks better. It actually has more of a stronger narrative.
Yeah,
more interesting characters. The world itself looks a little bit more polished.
Yeah, from my standpoint, it looks good. But again, like if the next game's gonna be something like that, did Microsoft spending all whatever money they spent, is it to get a game like that, or what is it to get? Right, you know what I mean? So
for me, I think that what's cool about this is I can see Obsidian is getting to usher in the new console. Because if this was a project that was on an old deal that's just coming out, then whatever they're doing for Microsoft, unless it's something small like indie XBLA downloadable, like I don't see that being the first thing that comes out of this deal.
No, it's going to be AAA. Yeah.
Exactly. Obsidian has a green light safe way into the new console with a new idea. And I think that's actually going to be pretty cool for them. Obsidian, I would say, it's always been known for narrative more like... I loved all the writing that happens at that studio. I think that there's always great characters, great world, and great story that interlocks the two. That's kind of like a signature that you get out of them. I don't know if Ray, you're disagreeing or here.
I'm listening to what you're saying. Like,
so I can at least count on that. What will be the test is like, all right, you know, will the design, will the art team, will everything about the game be like, all right, cool, this is Microsoft's first Obsidian game on the new console, bam, is that shit gonna make people want to buy Xbox next boxes or whatever, you know what I mean? So yeah, I'm excited to see how they do.
Right. All right. I'll play middle of the road, but more leaning towards Ray. I do agree that they're going to have amazing resources, right? But now stepping up to the big leagues of like the guys who do Call of Duty every year, Battlefield, they have a formula that they're used to, like Red Dead team. Well, they're not going to do anything open world, but there's a reason why Rockstar, even with new people, they know how to work this huge machine. So that's the challenge, I think, more than the idea. They'll have good ideas, good enough at least to get Microsoft to buy in. But the execution is where we see these studios fall apart. It's like, how do we grow and get people in here and be able to manage people without burning them out to create something bigger than what we ever made in our history of game making? That's where I see the rubber hits the road type of moment, where a lot of these studios just fall apart.
Like experience
or fallout.
Yeah, experience of making
76. Like,
yeah, but reaching past what you've done before, right? Like taking it up another notch is gonna be hard.
Yeah, it's very hard. And I will say Microsoft just saved six studios for the next 5 years of falling apart. Like, let's be serious. Like, these are probably, we were to name the next 10 studios, these five would be popping up in our list of like they're in trouble if they don't come out with something sustainable. So
the big concern for me is like the immediate culture shift of growth, right? Yeah. Like I can definitely say that there's culture at Obsidian. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've worked there personally. I've never worked in Exile, but I definitely am familiar with kind of like the inner workings of the culture at Obsidian. Now, if I doubled the employee count in, let's say, a month, you can forget it. Like a lot of things are going to shift. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no time for assimilation to occur with that many people in such a short period of time. I don't necessarily know that like that's how fast they have to grow, but I can see that like, yeah, if you guys are going to grow to 220 again,
power, almost, dude.
Yeah.
Power in the hands of geeks. Like if they're not ambitious and like eyes on the goal, it just easily becomes, because you know, if they took this money from Microsoft and is celebrating for the next 10 days, then it's the wrong move, in my opinion. It's like, all right, now the real work is going to happen right now. That's a different type of mindset. It's like, we need to prove to Microsoft and ourselves that this was a buy, not a mistake, right? And it takes a whole different mentality of like winners, basically, to do a 200 plus team. Yeah.
And I don't know what equity members of Obsidian are still there. And yeah. I don't have any like moles, and I actually haven't even asked anybody this, but like, you know, you've been working hard on video games for a long time, like leaving Black Isle, starting Obsidian, the struggles of having like the Fallout New Vegas money taken from you because you got an 84 instead of 85, you know, having to cancel a game, like all the ups and downs that a studio like that goes through. And you were already in your like mid to late 30s and starting the company. I was always wondering, like, if this day came, which of the starting five was going to still be there, or which hey, this is my cue, you know, good luck, you know, senior producer.
Yeah, that's another challenge right there. It's like, I made it this far, finally.
Yeah.
or like, yeah, this is my validation that I can do what I always wanted. It's two different mindset, you know?
Well, you know, like some of these deals work. It's like, you know, you have to stick around for X amount of years.
A game at least.
And then there's X amount of years of like non-compete and all this sort of stuff, right?
So, yeah, you can't be Star Citizen and buy like these cards.
What was the third person action game that like the spy game that Obsidian
Alpha
made?
Protocol.
That's right. Protocol. Okay, yeah, Alpha Protocol. Yeah.
Alpha Protocol.
Beginning of the fall.
Alpha
Protocol. There was a two?
There was a two. I didn't even know.
They better not do Alpha Protocol 2. Oh my God.
Alpha Protocol, was it bad?
Like, okay, hold on.
Bad enough.
No, hold on, stop. Alpha Protocol was bad. However, I dug Alpha Protocol. Like, I think if they
liked it.
I think if you fix all the issues I have with Alpha Protocol, that game would be dope.
And they had more time. Right?
Yeah, but
more, it's resources. It's the same story. Yeah, more time, more resources, right? Yeah. Like fix issues, sure. Right?
Well, I agree.
All right, like, well, let's do a guess. Out of the five, let me look these up. Microsoft Studios bought five studios. It's got to be
Playground, Compulsion, NXile, Obsidian.
Man, I wish I would have started a studio like 12 years ago.
Well, I mean, which out of those has the best
Playground?
Which one did they make again?
Forza Horizon.
Yeah, that's Forza's proven.
They is Ninja Forza. Theory second then? They bought Ninja Theory too, right?
Ninja Theory is another one. Yeah. I think Ninja those three.
Yeah,
those two are just legit. Like
those are good buys.
Yeah, Ninja Theory is just like, yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait.
With what they did with Hellblade, Ninja Theory has like street cred with me now.
Yeah.
And like, just tell me what they're doing and when it's out.
Well, like the thing is, everybody talks about Hellblade, and yeah, it's a good game. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. But they've always made good games.
I'm not a masochist, so I missed all of the ninja games that were modern.
Well, not Ninja Gaiden, but like Heavenly Sword.
Heavenly Sword.
I don't understand why people want to hate on Heavenly Sword. Heavenly Sword is like, of course, it's also
they did Devil May Cry too. Devil May Cry 4.
Yeah. Like Heavenly Sword is definitely like my jam. Right? Mm-hmm. It's like the kind of games I like. So I've been a fan of them for like a while. So
yeah, they're best. Yeah.
Congratulations, Ray.
Well, I will say this. I mean, NXile, Obsidian, they've been going the indie route, and they've been using what they have and crawl out of their problems. So that's probably like one of the things that Microsoft sees is like, hey, these guys are actually good developers. They just need more resources. But then the growth is always an issue. It's like, how do you handle growth? It's a whole different beast.
I do not bet on them, right? Like if they're, like you said, independent and making it through 2008, 2009 game industry off of their own money with more than 200
employees. That's something. Yeah.
Shit.
Like, I mean, I think like, okay, I compare like Playground, Ninja Theory,
like they AAA, right?
Like, and even Compulsion, because like, I think We Happy Few is actually a pretty good looking game, right? Yeah. Even though I think Compulsion is a pretty small studio. Mm-hmm. And then I see NXIL and Obsidian, I'm kind of like, huh? But if we are talking about Microsoft is building a streaming game portfolio where they want to have many different types of games that they provide, but you know, that's just the rumor, right? That they're going to Game Pass all in, right? Mm-hmm. If it's Game Pass all in, then it makes sense to have like different types of studios that make different types of games of different quality levels, mm-hmm. even, right? So there is that chance that they're not even trying to go AAA or blow up these big studios.
No, they're trying to fill their genres.
They're trying to cover these genres of games that they want to be made that will be the future.
Yeah, right? I see that. That's a good angle. Microsoft needs it. I mean, if they refocus on games, like Sony has been doing really well in last generation, they will be back on top easily. Well, I mean, that's good news. I mean, that's Orange County companies. We've always liked that.
More jobs in our neighborhoods.
Yeah, finally.
Thank you, Microsoft.
So, well, we're coming into this corner. Game Awards is actually the only Game Awards televised nowadays, right? Gets a good amount of buzz.
Was it televised?
Gamer
Choice Awards was like televised also.
My bad. What I mean is, like, it used to be on like Spike TV, but then they found a better way to show it, which is streaming. It's cheaper, but it's the only one I feel throughout the year that everybody watches, not just game developers watching GDC.
Yeah,
but I feel this last year, this last one, nobody really tuned in as much. The buzz wasn't as, it became a commercial, right, for a lot of games that are coming out.
It's been a
commercial. It's always been like that.
It's been a commercial since day one. Like, it's been a big ass video game commercial. Like, that's all it is, right? Yeah.
Were you guys excited about anything you saw?
Not really, man. I was kind of underwhelmed. I was like kind of clicking through it, and Hades maybe looked really cool, but everything was pretty forgettable in my
opinion. Right now, we're getting. Sorry, go ahead, Ray.
Sorry, there's one thing I saw, but I just can't even remember what it was that I was like, oh, that looks dope, but I cannot remember what it was. Like, so never mind. Sorry.
I was saying, right now we're getting to that like dangerous sweet spot where you have the absolute biggest install base, obviously, like a huge install base for Microsoft, for Sony, for Nintendo. And so any new games that are coming out now, it's like, cool, we have so many customers to sell to. But at the same time, I definitely know that like a lot of companies are going to start thinking about like, hey, we do 3-year projects here, so we should probably start tooling up for the next box, the PS5 or the Switch 2. Or actually, Switch is probably itself for like the next 3-4 years.
Well, Ray, are you talking about Hello Games, The Last Campfire? Is that the one you like?
No, people were talking about that one, but I
Anthem.
No.
Far Cry. The
Far Cry.
I like that too, but I don't think that was the one I was thinking about either.
New games announced. I'm just going to say while you guys talk.
I can't even remember. Jeez.
This PUBG's new map looks like ass.
Oh, wow. Shots.
So Marvel Ultimate Alliance was announced at the Video Game Awards. Rocket League, McLaren's Car Pack, Far Cry New Dawn.
Well, let me know how you guys feel when you guys saw the three executives come out, like as if it's like
a
Ocean's 11 or something. like we care about this shit. And like that Sony, like, I don't know this guy. You guys switch executives every 2 years. Am I supposed to know this guy? He was like odd man out. At least I know the Microsoft and Nintendo guy. Their guy was
you don't pay enough attention to what's going on out here in the streets, Brandon.
Streets, you're talking about corporate heads here. What streets? They're at like the highest tower.
Ray, was it Dragon Age 4? No. The Dead Wolf Rises or The Pathless?
What was it?
Mortal Kombat 11, Psychonauts 2.
Two. I was kind of impressed with Psychonauts. That's
our boy Zach McClendon, right?
Yeah, Zach. I know a bunch of people working on that, and I'm excited to see what they end up with.
You know what I'm impressed of? Like I'm surprised Double Fine isn't bought by Mark, or maybe an offer was made, but they weren't bought. They didn't sell. Which is kind of funny. It's like they would sell, right?
Yeah, I don't think there was offer made. Because Double Fine would totally be like, yeah, give it here, I think. I don't know.
But like Double Fine out of everybody at least has a good slew of proven indie games, right?
I think it's really, really impressive that Double Fine is out here.
Still around, yeah.
Making games. And I'm happy about it. So,
would you care as a customer if they stay indie or not? Does that matter to you?
No, not to me. But it would be more financial security, so they could continue doing what they do, right?
Well, I mean that pretty much closed up the whole year. I feel like there's nothing really left. We're already in mid-December when we're recording this. I foresee next year. Let's go end of year or new next year predictions here.
Okay.
From what I've heard, 2020 is when we're gonna have or see new consoles, right? That's why there's a lot of shush going on. E3, especially this year. Who's pulling out? Sony? Sony's pulling out.
They're out.
That's huge. Have we talked about this?
Nope.
But it makes sense, man. You know, and you know my personal beef with the upper management at E3. I'm happy to hear that the big publishers are pulling out of E3s.
I'm sorry. About your experience.
There's a lot of rumor and speculation that there's something coming from Sony soon. Mm-hmm. And if they're playing at E3, then they're probably saving the hotness for their own event, right?
Yeah. Is it TGS? No.
TGS or...
It's Sony's like 2 days before E3 press conference.
Yeah. Or it's the PlayStation Experience or whatever.
Yeah.
I think 2020 is going to be a big year because I've always said, and I still believe, that the idea of video game consoles is dead. I do see it living like stream box thing. Like, I think that has some validity to it. But I mean, 2025, 2026, I'm not going to be hearing about PlayStation 6, PlayStation 7. You forget it. It's going to be a service. It's going to be Netflix. PS6 is like a Netflix. Literally, it'll be just an app you download, I promise you.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's make this a tradition.
I'm sad.
End of the year. We'll kind of roll off with the sadness. Let's lightning round. How many studios closed down this year?
Ready to go.
This year has been the worst.
It's been a tough year. We just lost Daybreak.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if we lost them.
They laid off a bunch of people. But yeah.
Like 70 people, right?
Yeah. Has there been any studio that made a comeback after a major layoff? Has anyone climbed out of the hole?
I mean, EA has laid off people.
I mean, like an individual studio like Daybreak that doesn't own like six different licenses. Like
more than 80% of the entire staff of the conglomerate, because EA is saying that they laid off a bunch of people. They're like, we laid off 300 out of like 6,000.
Yeah. That's not the same. No one, right?
Let's see. What was the other
Double Fine, maybe? Telltale?
Yeah, I think Double Fine laid off people and then survived.
After Brutal Legend.
Yeah.
Play some music. Who else?
Is Harmonix still around?
Harmonix?
Harmonix.
I think they closed down.
They closed down?
I think they have, yeah.
I swear they had a game out. Guess not. Like, I thought they had a VR game out.
Possibly. We can do some quick Googling.
I'm just out here guessing, right? But I don't think they closed down.
I think the right thing to do is to all the game developers out there who are going into the holiday season, which is traditionally known as like the time where it's very hard to get a job, to reach out and get in touch.
Everyone already in a cabin right now, man.
Yeah, this is the hardest time of year. So our hearts go out to everybody, and
you know, I don't have much encouragement, but just, you know, keep trying, keep working on your stuff. And I hope to see you guys in new jobs soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah, supposedly Harmonix is actually still around. Okay, cool.
Told you, dude.
Yeah.
I don't think they're coming back.
No, but on that subject, I think, yeah, there's a bunch of people that, like, you know, got laid off at Tailtale. I know a few that have actually landed at pretty decent jobs. And so, I hope, you know, when one door closes, you know, another one opens, they say. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good note to kind of end it.
Shit. Well, guys, it's been an honor and a pleasure serving another round table triangle with you guys. Brandon, great craftsmanship. I'm Larry Charles, and I'm saying good night.
See you guys next week.
Deuces.
So thanks for listening to our podcast. I hope that you're a subscriber, but if you aren't, please feel free to follow us on any of the major podcast platforms, especially iTunes or Spotify. You can find show notes and more resources available to help you become a successful game developer. Just go on over to our website, www.gamedevunchained.com. If you're interested in keeping the conversation going, then definitely come check us out in Discord, where we chat in real time for after show Tuesdays to discuss episodes, and Feedback Fridays, where we share screenshots on the projects that we're currently working on. If you go over to patreon.com, you can support our podcast financially. And if you do so, you get access to Life Unchained, our on-the-pulse, unfiltered game dev gossip content that we make exclusively for our Patreon supporters. And as usual, you can keep in touch and follow our happenings on Facebook and Twitter. That's Game Dev Unchained, the podcast.